Let's give another hand to the drama team and to our music team. Well, I'm going to be talking to you today about your greatest legacy. And I'd like you to take out your notes and join me in my favorite two-sentence prayer. Are you ready to pray with me? Pray this. Lord, speak to my heart and change my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Think that's a prayer God will answer? Every time. Your greatest legacy. You know, I saw a car going down the road the other day and had this sign on the door that said, "See me about leaving $1 million legacy to your children." And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. And I went home and told my family, and my kids go, "You did chase him down, right, Dad?" No, he got away. But I know $1 million isn't what it was worth, you know, back in my day. But you think about it, $1 million legacy still be pretty nice, wouldn't it? Yeah? But that raises the question, is that what it's really all about? Because if it's just about the money, then most of us here can pretty much count ourselves out of ever being able to leave a significant legacy. Because when all is said and done, and we're gone, and they count up all the cookies, most of us are going to be a few cookies short of $1 million, right? You know, that's just the way it is. And so, what do we do? Well, I'm here to tell you some good news today. And that is, one, a monetary legacy is not the only significant legacy you can leave. And two, a monetary legacy isn't even the best kind of legacy that you can leave. Because you know what? You can leave your kids a whole pile of money, but if you haven't left them with a legacy of other things, like character and integrity and wisdom and compassion, they'll probably just wind up being spoiled, lazy, selfish brats who will blow it all on unwise choices and loose living, just like the prodigal son, right? And what should have been a wonderful legacy just becomes a curse because nobody gave them what it would take to be able to handle it. There are better things, greater things than you can leave behind you than money. And that's what a legacy is. It's what you impart to others and what you leave behind as you go through life. And you know what? It's all that's left once you're dead and gone. That's all that's left. It could be property or money that you leave in your last will, but really a legacy is anything that you hand down to someone. And it can be good or bad. A good legacy is when the world or people are benefited or improved because of you. Because of what you give them, because of what you teach them, because of what you've inspired them to do, something that they can take and live and pass it on to others. That is a great legacy. And every one of us in this room and out in that tent have the power to leave a great legacy. Even if you start right now, you can do it. But knowing that we have the power to do that, we also have to know that we have the power to leave another kind of legacy, like a legacy of pain and misery and abuse, a legacy of violence or addiction or broken, dysfunctional lives. Because the bottom line, family, is who we are right now is determining what we're going to leave behind us for our legacy. What kind of legacy are you going to leave? Notice I didn't say what kind of legacy do you want to leave? Because we all got great intentions, right? But here's the thing. If we don't do something about it now, our lives and actions and choices now will become our legacy by default. That's just the way it works. So this is not something that we can put off. As long as we have the gift of life in us, we can do something about it. But once we die, our legacy, good or bad, is sealed. And that's it. Another thing you need to know about a legacy, it's not just something that's given, it's also something that's received. You hand down your legacy to others, but you also receive a legacy from others. And just as you're responsible for the legacy that you hand down, you're also responsible for what you do with the legacies that you receive. And this made me think about my dad and what he left me and what I chose to do with it. I'm an only child. Some of you going, that's why he's like that. But I'm an only child, so it was a no-brainer. I got my dad's house when he passed away. And that has become such a wonderful part and blessing of his legacy, not because it's a great house, but because of what we did with it. My wife Linda and I have devoted it to the Lord, and for decades, we've used it for Bible studies, church meetings, as a counseling facility. We've had more people than we can count come and stay there in times of need. And we've had over 100 foster children come through that home in the last 10 years. No, we don't eat them. We've been in an emergency shelter, so they've moved through, okay? But God has mightily blessed that legacy because of what we chose to do with it. My dad also left me some less glorious examples of a legacy, like alcohol addiction and pornography. And it became up to me to choose what I was going to do about those as well. Because we have to know it's our responsibility. We can't use the excuse that we're victims of the legacies that have been handed down to us. You know why? Because as Christians, the legacy that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us is far bigger and greater than any of the bad legacies that may come to us from the world. Amen? Greater is He who is in me than all that stuff in the world. So how about you? Do you want to leave a great legacy? You know, it really comes down to just one thing. Who are you living for? Are you living your life for yourself, or are you living your life for God and others? That's it. Because here's the deal. Every minute of your life that you live for God and others, every second of that minute, you're building a great legacy. And by the same token, every minute that you're focused on yourself and living for yourself, you're building nothing, and maybe even tearing apart what you have built. And that's the truth. I'm not saying that you can't have a little you time. You know, we all need rest and recreation. You need that to recharge. But the point here is, again, what's the purpose of your rest and recreation? Is it because you just want to have fun? Just you want to do what you want to do? Or is it because you recognize that you need to take care of yourself, you need to rest, you need to recharge? Why? So you can go out there and be your best for God and the others you're serving for Him. Just think about it. It's the question, who's it for? Think about all of those people in history that the world considers great and having left a great legacy. Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King, Clara Barton, the founder of the American Red Cross. What was it about their lives? Really, it was because they were all about serving other people, right? That's why they're great. You look all through history and just try to find one example of someone who is considered great because of their exemplary and extraordinary selfishness. You won't find them. There are no Nobel Prizes for selfishness. And here's something you'll never hear the Lord say: well done, good and selfish person. You know, you took all my blessings and you used them to the max and you really enjoyed life. You go, boy, you know. You'll never hear God say that. But that's not us, because we're going to learn how to leave a great legacy today. And let's read the scripture at the top of your notes, would you? This is Jesus' answer to the lawyer who asked him, what is the greatest commandment of all? And he said, ready, go. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. Second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus goes on to say, on these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. He's saying everything you need to know and do is right here. God's greatest and highest commandments, His perfect will for us. What is it again? Love God, love people. That's it. Notice there's nothing in there about live for yourself, you know, because God's plan for me and you is greatness. The commandment is talking about loving God totally, completely, passionately, above everything else, all the time. You know, years ago when I became a Christian, there was a saying we used a lot, and you don't hear it much anymore. But the saying was this, that Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship with God. You know what? We need to remember that. And we need to get back to that, and we need to start living that again, because we have the unbelievable privilege of living in an intimate love relationship with the God of the universe. But you know what? Whenever we forget about that, whenever we start going through the motions of being a Christian, like when we come to church without really seeking and finding God every time in His presence, or when we open our Bibles and read but not meet Him and listen to Him speak into our lives, or when we serve Him without serving with Him. You know what I'm talking about? Every time we do that, what we're doing is we're walking away from that living relationship, and everything degenerates into dead religion. It's all about the relationship. And then Jesus says we're to love our neighbors as the people around us, as ourselves. God is telling us that no matter what, it's all about our relationships, because they're the key to life, and they have everything to do with your legacy. That's where legacies are built. That's where they're received, and it's in our relationships that our legacies are passed on to others. So you can fill in that bullet at the top of your notes. Our relationships and what we do with them will be our greatest legacy. Speaking of relationships with people, there's a Portuguese guy named Mano, and he, no, I just wanted to make you feel at home. It's really a holy guy named Bob. And Bob and his friend are sitting on the front porch admiring the sunset, and Bob has this big smile on his face, and he goes, you know, I think there's nobody on this planet that I don't really know. And his friend looks at him and goes, what? You're kidding, right? And Bob goes, no, I really think I know everyone on the face of this earth. And his friend goes, no way. I bet you don't know the president. And Bob goes, George? Oh, sure, I know old George. In fact, I'm having dinner with him on Tuesday. You want to come? So on Tuesday afternoon, they get together. They drive up to Washington, D.C. They go right through security and all the Secret Service. George Bush himself opens the door. Hiya, Bob. Come on in. We're just playing a little Nintendo. And Bob's friend is so impressed. But he's still not convinced that Bob knows everybody. So a couple of days later, he goes, I'll bet you don't know Bruce Springsteen. Anybody here old enough to know Bruce Springsteen? Rock star? Born in the USA. Anyway, you know. And he goes, Bruce, sure, I know the boss. We used to hang out together in Jersey. Bob, I don't believe you. I think you're lying to me. And Bob goes, no, it's true. As a matter of fact, he's having a show tomorrow night. Why don't we go? So they go to the show. They walk down to the front row. They take their seats. And out comes Bruce Springsteen. And he goes, I'd like to dedicate this first song to my good friend Bob here. Man, his friend is totally freaked out by now, and he's determined to find someone that Bob doesn't know. A couple of weeks go by, he's been racking his brain. Bob's sitting on his front porch again. He drives up, jumps out of his car, and goes, aha, I know who you don't know. You don't know the Pope. And Bob smiles and goes, you mean Benedict? Sure, I know old Benedict. We go back for years. He goes, Bob, now I know you're lying. There's no way you could know the Pope. Bob says, I'll prove it to you. Let's go to the airport. So they go to the airport, get some tickets. They fly to Rome, go to the Vatican. Bob's friend is standing right in the front row of people waiting for the Pope to come out on the balcony and bless them. Pretty soon the Pope comes out waving at the people, and sure enough, there's Bob, arm over the Pope's shoulder, waving at the crowd. Bob's friend is down on the ground. Bob looks down. He's passed out on the street. He's just out. Bob runs down there, goes over to him, picks him up, says, are you okay? And he goes, yeah, man, that was quite a shock to see you up there with a Pope. But what really got me is this guy behind me tapped me on the shoulder and said, excuse me, that man up there seems to be somebody. Who is that standing next to Bob? Yes, relationships are the key to life, but you don't have to have one with everybody, okay? There are, however, four areas of relationships that if we will work on them, we can receive and leave our greatest legacy. And the first one is number one on your notes, my relationship with God. This is where it all begins. My relationship with God, and you can fill in the bullet under number one. This is where I receive my legacy and grow into someone who has a legacy worth passing on. This is where it happens, family. And would you read with me Romans 8:29? Ready, go. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. You know what? Look at that scripture. This is talking about us. Did you know that God's plan for you is for you to become just like Jesus? That's what this is saying. He wants everything about you to become more and more Christ-like every day. It's the truth. This is God's design for us. But how does it happen? It only can happen as we live in intimate relationship with him. And then we become more and more like the one we love. Remember I was telling you about the legacy I received from my dad? Well, there was one other not so positive part of the legacy he left me. And that was he was pretty much an absent father in my life. Wasn't that he was a bad guy. It wasn't that he didn't love me, but he was just pretty much absent. He was an important businessman with Sheraton Hotels. And he used to spend long hours in the office. And then when he wasn't in the office, he was constantly entertaining clients and associates and friends. And he traveled a lot. Now, the point of this is, when it came for me to be a father, I had no idea how to do it. And so when I get married to my wife, Linda, right there, she was a single mom and had two children, ages 9 and 11. Single moms out there, there's hope for you. You could get someone like me, okay? But suddenly I had an instant family and no idea how to be a father. And worse yet, anyone remember the part about me being an only child? I basically had no idea about kids either. In fact, I didn't know that even normal ones fight and argue all the time. Did you know this? I remember, I think I had an argument once as a kid, but it was with my dog. But anyway. Anyway, I was clueless, so what did I do? I didn't just need a plan, I needed a miracle. And so this is what I determined to do every day after work, and I mean every day. I would come home from my job as an x-ray tech, my new loving wife would hand me a cup of coffee, and I'd go straight into our bedroom and spend 1 hour in the Word of God and writing down what He was teaching me. And let me tell you, family, those were some of the most precious times in my life. Because Jesus met me there, and He spoke into my life, and He changed my heart, and He changed the way I thought. And that's where He gave me just what I needed for that critical time, and that's where I was filled with His love and strength and power and patience so that I could step up to this new role of husband and father that I had never walked in before. He just gave it to me. And that's where I received my legacy from Jesus and was turned into a person who could begin to transmit a much more positive legacy to my new family and others. It all begins with your relationship with God. And you know, family, here at New Hope, we want to do everything we can to help you grow in that relationship you have with God. We've got Growing Deep, Growing Strong coming up this coming Saturday. You need to sign up for that if you haven't been a part of it. We've got water baptism coming up 2 weeks later on March 18th. These are both important steps in your spiritual growth process. And we've got something else for you. You know what we got? We have scheduled you an appointment with God every day. And it's called our Bible reading and journaling program. It's proven to work, where you can go to Him, hear from Him, have Him speak into your life every day, where you can develop your own personal, intimate love relationship with the God who loves you madly. And let me tell you, family, I can't emphasize enough, you need to grow in your relationship with God. Why? Because you need to be equipped for what you're going to face today and tomorrow, right? We need help in life. And also so you'll be equipped to leave a great legacy behind you. So a great legacy begins with a relationship with God, but what do you do with it next? You need to turn your attention to the next priority of relationships. Number 2 in your notes, my relationship with my family. You know, one way or another, pretty much all of us are in some way connected somehow to a personal family, right? For better or for worse, that's just the way it is. And here's one thing you need to know. One of the main goals of our enemy is to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Let me tell you, one of the places he loves to do it the most is within family relationships. Why is that? Because the hurts go so much deeper. You know? It's so much easier to hurt someone you love deeply the closer you are in relation to them. You ever notice that? And that's what the enemy does. He loves to come in and assist us in hurting each other in our families. He loves to help us to be selfish and proud and hard-headed and unforgiving toward each other because he knows that if he can do that, he can bring down entire families and make sure that all they have to pass on is a legacy of damaged lives. And that's why we need to determine today concerning our families, those families that God gave us and put us in, that we're going to work hard to leave a legacy, fill in the bullet under number 2, a legacy of love, forgiveness, and guidance. We're talking about a legacy of Jesus' kind of love, a love which he describes as laying down your life. That means laying down your selfishness and what you think are your rights and laying down your wants and desires for the sake of others. That's Jesus' love. We're also talking about a legacy of Jesus' kind of forgiveness, which is best described when he hung on that torturous cross and he looked right at the people who had nailed him there. And what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, because they don't understand. They really don't know. They just don't know what they're doing. You know what? That is the most powerful statement that you can make toward your family to bring healing to yourself, to bring restoration to your family. Father, forgive them. They don't know. They just don't know. It's okay. You know, most of us really aren't the evil, wicked monsters continually plotting to do each other harm that we sometimes think we are. You know, we think, oh, that they're just evil and they want to hurt me. We're not like that. You know what we're like? We're just a bunch of people all just trying to do the best we can and sometimes failing each other and sometimes miserably failing each other. But the fact of the matter is, even though we're doing the best we can, you know what? A lot of the time, we really don't know what we're doing, right? In life, we're winging it. You know, we've never done this before. We got one life. And so we don't always see the impact of what we're doing and how it'll affect others. We don't see it until after it happens. And then the hurt's done. And then it's too late. And so we got to realize we're all in the same boat together. We all do this. And that's why forgiveness is one of the most precious gifts that God has given us. Not just the forgiveness of my sins before him, but the forgiveness he gives us to give to one another, to heal our families, to protect them, and all our other relationships. You know, you gotta forgive your family members. You gotta. Why? Because unforgiveness will eat up your life. So I encourage you, do it. And if you can't do it for them, do it for him. And as you do, just marvel, because his power will suddenly be released into you and into them, because nothing blocks God's power like unforgiveness. And then for some of us, we're married and we have children, and the weight of the responsibility to leave a legacy to them, it grows proportionately. What do? Well, the Bible in Ephesians 5 says that we husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church, and that wives are to respect their husbands, because you know what? If your marriage isn't right, you're going to pass that legacy down. And then there's the kids. What do with the kids? Ephesians 6:4 says, don't exasperate your children, but raise them up, train them, and instruct them in the ways of the Lord. We need to make a priority of training and instructing our children in the Lord. But how do we do that? How do we learn to do that, especially if that wasn't part of the legacy we received from our parents? Let me refer you to point number one. Work on your relationship with God. Do that and let God pour into you. And then you go to your kids and you train them in what God is training you in. It works marvelously. You know one of the great legacies you can leave your kids? It's an example of obedience to God. Would you read that scripture with me from Deuteronomy 24? Ready? Go. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Stop right there. Then the Bible lists a whole list of blessings that'll come, but here's the one we're concerned about. Ready? Go. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body. See, you want your children to be blessed by God and to live in that blessing? He promises to make that happen if you, parents, will live in obedience to him. He promises it. But I know it's easier said than done, isn't it? But you know what? Our children are worth it. Amen? Okay, the third area of relationships, number three in your notes, my relationships in my church family. Why is this one so important? Because the Bible calls the church the body of Christ. Somehow in the spiritual realm, he's the head, we're the body, and together we're to do what he wants to do right here. Together we represent exactly who he is. That's the plan. We're the body of Christ and individually members and vital parts of that body. The word also tells us that if a body's parts, any body's parts, are not all in place and working properly with each other, then the whole body will not function as God designed it to. Anybody ever broken a bone before or really injured yourself? It doesn't matter if it's a small part. Your whole body knows what's going on, right? And it messes you up. It's the same with the body of Christ. If we, who are the body parts, are not joined together properly and stuck together and inseparable and all involved in working together for His purposes, then God's kingdom work on this earth will be greatly hindered. That's the way it works. And that's why we need to be focused on working hard to leave a legacy. Number three, that third bullet on your outline, a legacy of unity and serving God. Pastor Justin did a great job of teaching on this during our midweek service, that the bottom line is when it comes to God's work, it's not about us and what we want and our feelings. It's about working together as a team and not letting anything get in the way. No personality differences or hurts or attitudes, any of our petty stuff should never hinder or stop the work of God. Now I want to bring you out a little visual aid. Behold, the body of Christ, with all its parts, fully functional. 3-3, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Anyway, here's the body of Christ. Oh, that the world would see a complete body. But you know what the problem is? Us body parts, we weren't made at a factory. We're human beings with feelings and attitudes and pride. And we can step on each other's toes and we can hurt each other, right? And so what happens? You're in a small group and somebody says something you didn't like and they were kind of mean and they won't say they're sorry. And so what do? You say, I'm out of here. And you go and plant your own church and say, no, everybody should be like me. Hey, over here. No. And then somebody else is gifted in music and they try out for the church musical and they don't get a part and they go, well, fine, I'm out of here. And then somebody else is having a problem because the pastor is speaking the truth of God, but it doesn't sit right because it convicts them too much and they really can't take it and they just go, no, I'm out of here. And then this poor guy, he's not going anywhere, but he's trying to do everything that all these other guys were supposed to be doing in the church, and he's just getting tired and worn out and burnt out, and finally he just goes, I'm out of here. I can't do this anymore. And then you got the body of Christ. Jesus is the head of the body, right? But if people are just doing what they want to do, nobody's listening to him, so he's not there anymore. And the world looks at the church. And you know what they say? Ew. Why would I want to be a part of that? Family, who are we to tear apart the body of Christ? Who are we to think we can do such things? We gotta stop this. Amen? Amen. Body bag. Read that scripture in Ephesians 4 with me. Ready? Go. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Read that again. Ready? Go. Making every effort to keep the unity of Spirit in the bond of peace. So God calls us not to just try a little. He says, make every effort to hold this body together because it's that important, every effort. Because, family, we have the power to leave a legacy of unity in the church and get to help Jesus move his work forward. but we also have the power to leave a legacy of brokenness and disunity and a fractured, maimed, crippled body that the world is not going to want to be a part of. We have the power to hinder the work of God, personally responsible for hindering it. I don't want to be there. I don't know about you. And yes, pretty much, you know what I said about love and forgiveness regarding your family? It all applies to your church family as well. The same enemy wants to break every relationship in the body of Christ because he knows that unity in the body is his downfall. And so we need to remember what Ephesians says, that we don't war against flesh and blood. Our fights really aren't against each other, but against the evil forces of darkness. It's the enemy wanting to mess us up. So when we have problems, we got to let forgiveness flow freely for the sake of the body. We have to be able to go, Father, forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing. It's okay. It's just the enemy trying to pull his tricks again. And we don't let it happen. And that's how we leave a legacy of unity in the church. A unity that will release God's power into his church in such a way that the world can be changed. That's what we want. And God is so waiting for that to happen. Finally, the last area of relationships where you'll leave a legacy. Number four, my relationships with the people in my world. Those are the people who are somehow connected to your life. Maybe you work with them. Maybe you go to school with them. Maybe you ride on a bus with the same bus with the same people all the time. Or they're just the random people you encounter on a daily basis at the store or at a restaurant. And with these people, we want to leave a legacy, fill in that last bullet, a legacy of love in practical action. Practical action, which means caring enough about people to notice them, to look at them, to smile at them, to connect with them, maybe find out how they're doing, what they might need, and then even if you can, helping them to meet that need. Would you read that last scripture with me from 1 John? Ready, go. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Yeah, talk is cheap. How many know that? It doesn't cost you anything. What the world needs to see is the love of Jesus in practical action. Those of you who know me know I'm kind of a fan of the guitar. And I go to guitar stores on a pretty regular basis. In fact, I consider myself the pastor of all guitar stores in the islands. And I was in my favorite guitar store one day, and you know, you go to the same place all the time. You don't really know the people there, but you know, you kind of know them. You see face to face. You might even know their name, you know. Well, one day I went into my favorite guitar store, and there was this guy working there, and he looked lower than a snake belly in a truck rut, you know. He was down. And I just went to him and I said, you know what? You don't look right. Is everything okay? And he goes, no. And he just began to pour his heart out to me about how his living situation was so horrible. And he lived in this little apartment building. And it was every other apartment was full of ice addicts who were always partying or fighting or even trying to break into his apartment to steal his stuff. And he couldn't rest. He couldn't sleep. He was always on edge. He said, I can't live there anymore. Okay. Practical action. I'm going, what can I do? Well, one thing I can do for you is I'll go down to the New Hope bulletin board and look and see if there's another place for you. But here's another thing I'll do for you. I'm going to pray for you that, one, God will either fix your situation or, two, give you a better place to live. You want me to pray for you? And he goes, oh, yeah, okay. He's not a Christian now. And so right there in the guitar store, I do this super spiritual prayer. Lord, fix the situation or give them a better place. In Jesus' name, amen. God doesn't always need an essay, you know. 2 days later, the police come, bust everybody in the building. All the ice addicts are gone. He's got the whole place to himself. He's blown away. To make a long story short, he receives the Lord. God brings him a wonderful, godly woman. Guess who they asked to do the wedding? I get to do the wedding. All the other guitar store guys are there. I get to minister to them. And suddenly, what do we have? We have a legacy that is going to live on and touch others that wasn't there until someone said, hey, how you doing? Everybody say, hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
You can do it too. You really can. Would you read one last scripture with me? I know you're looking at your notes. Try turn it sideways on the edge. No, it's not in your notes. It's going to come up on the screen. It's from that passage where Jesus is talking and he separates the sheep from the goats. And he said, for the sheep, you came to prison, you visited me, I was sick, and you visited me, I was hungry, and you fed me. He's the king. It's going to come up here, and this is what the king is saying. Ready? Go. The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Okay, I'm going to close with a true story that wraps it up better than anything I could say to you at this point. It's about a little boy named Teddy Stallard. And Teddy certainly qualified as one of the least. Little boy who was not interested in school, musty, wrinkled clothes, hair never combed. He's one of those kids in school with a deadpan face, expressionless, sort of a glassy, unfocused stare. And when Miss Thompson, his teacher, spoke to Teddy, he always answered in monosyllables. Yeah, no, He was unattractive, unmotivated, distant. He was just plain hard to like. And although his teacher said she loved all the children in her class the same, deep down inside she wasn't being completely truthful. Because when she marked Teddy's papers, she took a certain perverse pleasure in putting big red X's next to all those wrong answers. And when she put the F's at the top of the page, she did it with a flare and a circle around them. She should have known better. She had Teddy's records, and she knew more about him than she cared to admit. Records read like this. First grade, Teddy shows promise in his work and attitude, but a poor home situation. Second grade, Teddy could do better. Mother is seriously ill. He receives little help at home. Third grade, Teddy is a good boy, but too serious. He's a slow learner. His mother died this year. Fourth grade, Teddy is very slow, but well-behaved. His father shows no interest. And now it was fifth grade, and it was Christmas time, and all the kids in Miss Thompson's class brought their Christmas presents for her and piled them on her desk and crowded around the desk to watch her open them. And on that desk, standing out from the rest, was a gift from Teddy Stallard. Miss Thompson was surprised he even thought to bring her a gift. But his stood out because it was just wrapped in plain brown paper with a ton of scotch tape on it and the simple words, for Miss Thompson from Teddy. It stood out among all of the bows and the glitter and the great papers. And when Miss Thompson opened that present, out fell a gaudy rhinestone bracelet with half the stones missing and a bottle of cheap perfume. And the boys and girls started to smirk and giggle. But Miss Thompson at least had the presence of mind to stop them by putting on the bracelet and putting some perfume on her wrist and going, doesn't that smell great? Kids go, yeah. Well, after school, all the kids went home. Miss Thompson was at her desk. Teddy lingered behind. And he slowly walked over to her desk and he said, Miss Thompson, today you smell just like my mother. And I'm really glad you like her bracelet. It looks so pretty on you. I'm glad you like my gifts. And he left. And after he left, Miss Thompson fell down on her knees at her desk and asked God to forgive her. Well, when the children came to school the next day, they were welcomed by a new teacher. Miss Thompson hadn't quit. She just became a different person. She no longer was just a teacher. She had suddenly become an agent of God, and she was now a person committed to loving her children and to helping them in every way, doing things for them that would live on after her. She helped all the kids, but especially the slow ones, and especially Teddy Stallard. And by the end of that school year, Teddy had shown dramatic improvement. He had caught up with most of the rest of the class, and he was even ahead of some of them. Well, fifth grade ended, and she didn't hear from Teddy for a long time, and then one day she received a note. Dear Miss Thompson, I want you to be the first to know I'll be graduating second in my high school class. Thank you for all you did for me. Love, Teddy Stallard. 4 years later, she got another note. Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I'll be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know. The university has not been easy, but like you taught me, I worked hard and I made it. Thank you for all you did for me. Love, Teddy Stallard. And 4 years later, dear Ms. Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore Stallard, MD. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know. And by the way, I'm getting married next month, the 27th to be exact. I want you to come and to sit where my mother would sit if she were alive. You are the only family I have left now. Dad died last year. Love, Teddy Stallard. And you know what? Miss Thompson went to that wedding and sat where Teddy's mother would have sat. And she deserved to sit there because she had given to Teddy something he could never forget. She had imparted to him a legacy that changed the course of his life and that would live on to touch a multitude of others through Dr. Theodore Stallard. And family, you know what? That is the power of one life to impart a far-reaching blessing into another life. And each and every one of you have that power right now. Question is, what are you going to leave? Because it's not a question that you are going to leave a legacy. The question is, what kind of legacy are you going to leave? Will it be good or bad? And it doesn't matter if you're 16 or 96. You're not too young. You're not too old to start living your life with a focus of leaving a great legacy. You know what you do? You start with your relationship with God. And then you take everything you receive from Him and you pour it into your family, into your church family, into the people in your world. You start living your life more for God and others than you do for yourself. You do that faithfully. You do it deliberately. And you know what? You'll impact more lives in your lifetime than you'll ever know. You will leave an amazing legacy. And you'll qualify yourself to hear the most precious words any human being can hear from their Lord and Master when you see Him face to face. Well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we present our lives to you right now, Lord, such as they are. And right now, we just recognize whatever we've done up to now, whatever good, take it and make it our legacy. Whatever bad, Lord, wash it away in the blood of Jesus. But we present ourselves to you now and ask you to fill us afresh with your Spirit. Give us a vision of what you want us to do and how we can become an impactful, effective, legacy-leaving Christian. Lord, we give our lives to you and ask you to empower us to leave a legacy that will make you proud and please you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it all begins with your relationship with God. And there may be some of you here today who have never made that commitment, who've never entered into a relationship with Him. And today would be the best day ever to do that. If you want to say yes to Jesus, if you want to say, I want a relationship with you, would you just lift his hand and say yes to him and just say, today's the day I'm going to begin my relationship and leave an awesome legacy. Just raise your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Just keep them up for just a second. God bless you. All right, well, the rest of you, all of you, just stand up and let's pray together on behalf of these who have just received the Lord. Let's pray together. Ready? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus and all that he did, the legacy that he gave to me. And now, Lord, I receive him as my Savior and Lord. Jesus, take my life. Make it what you want it to be. Give me the power to please you and to live in your ways. And right now I declare, I belong to Jesus. He is my Lord, and I will live for him forever. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.